Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Father, thank you. Oh, glory to God. Your goodness is just so wonderful. To me, it's rather overwhelming. And it just keeps growing and growing in my heart and mind, your goodness and your wonderfulness and your grace and goodness to us. And your goodness sent Jesus into this lost, dying world. And we praise you and thank you in His name. Amen. Now, let's go back to Hebrews 11:6 once more. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Impossible. Why is it impossible to please Him without faith? Well, it finishes it to tell you. He'll tell you right here, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's the rewarder. Without faith, there's the spiritual connection isn't there with which to reward the blessing. Mm-hmm. He can't bless you unless He can get to you. And you have to remember, He created this earth for human beings.
That's correct.
Not for Himself. And I like to say He needed a family and He built on. So, and He did. When He created this planet, that was the reason for it. Now, why? I mean, why go to all this? Why study all this? What does this lead to? Well, let's go back to the book of Proverbs and the Classic Amplified. In the 3rd chapter, my son, forget not my law or teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments. Listen, for length of days and years of a life worth living, tranquility inward and outward, continuing through old age until death, these they shall add unto you. Tranquility, a life worth living, a life broken, financially down and sick. That you may be alive, but it ain't worth living. I know. I've been in so much pain I didn't know what to do. And I'm pain-free, glory to God.
Amen.
And it was faith in God and that and knowing how to use it.
Right. You had faith in His goodness. You didn't have faith in, well, you probably are trying to teach me something by doing this to me. You didn't have faith in that.
No,
that's not faith.
I never heard that until I got around preachers.
You'd still be hurting if you believed
it.
Yeah,
well, yeah. And one man, I heard him preach it. I was there. I was sitting right in the audience when he said, God will break your leg to prove He can heal it. I thought, no, the God I used to serve would do you that way, not the God I serve now.
Amen.
And God doesn't have to do anything to prove anything.
No, He doesn't.
He is.
No.
He just is.
The proof of His life is right there.
Yes, sir.
If you believe this, and notice, I don't know where you can see it from where you are. You can see where the where is in my Bible. Now, Greg studied the first covenant. That's where his calling is. Mine is over here. And so these pages over here are dog-eared and torn up, and then some of these kind of stick together, you know.
But you
of course I study this.
But you can see what I've done to remind myself that all of this study culminates right here. This is where I live.
That's where it is.
This is where I live because this is the fulfillment of all of this.
That got me this.
Absolutely.
Because this had to happen to get Jesus in here.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And you talk about 2,000 years there and 2,000 years to God, that is only, you know, 2 days.
Right. Right.
Amen.
It's absolutely true.
Absolutely true. It's only 2 days. So now, I want to get... And I want to go back and get in our study of this, God is a good God, Luke 18:8-19, so on. God has never created anything that was bad because He is so good. Then something wasn't good, and man was alone, and He created Adam, a woman. And I just, every time I think about that, that had to be one more good-looking woman. God, I mean, made in heaven, you know.
He named her. Yes, Adam named her.
Yes. So, and I know how he felt because I remember how I felt when I saw Gloria Jean Neese. Oh, yeah, that's good.
That's right.
And so, anyway, what about the devil?
Yeah, what about him?
Well, he was good in the day that he was created.
Absolutely, because God cannot create anything
no.
that's evil. Well, then people now, the minute you say that, they'll argue with you. So, let's go back. Let me show you Genesis chapter 2. When was iniquity found in Lucifer? When did that happen? Because he was created good. All the virtues of godliness were found in him. He was perfect, the scripture says, in all his ways, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. So there was something that triggered it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been, I've studied this now for about a year solid, just trying to figure that out. Genesis chapter 2. Look down here to verse 8, and God planted, well, let's go verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. So now we were made from here.
Yes.
Lucifer is not made from here.
No.
We're made from here. We're the ones that will reunite heaven and earth, or mankind will. A man will. And it's supposed to have been Adam. He was given the assignment to replenish the earth. Anyway, let me get going. Verse 7. Lord God formed man in the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. I absolutely got such a revelation, Brother Copeland, when you told the story of what you saw, mm-hmm. where he picked him
yes.
up
yes.
and breathed into
him. Now, I said that in just a few seconds, minutes, but I had been praying about that off and on a long time, and I'd been in prayer just for a long time, and I had the image of what people's imaginations did, where, you know, there was just dirt there, and then it just did like this, and I thought, no, that doesn't fit. God spoke, and it was. And what I found in the rabbi's office, light was, man was, and so forth. And after that, I saw it. I saw it in the spirit as plainly as I'm looking at you. I saw him. I saw what he looked like. And he was gray and lifeless. And he was exactly, because people don't understand what happened in creation. You can find it in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. But God actually, it was Jesus that was doing the speaking.
That's right.
God gave him the words. For all things were created by and for Him. That's the way
right.
people get over into the oneness thinking, and thinking it's just all Jesus. But it didn't. Mm-mm. Anyway, God was telling Jesus what to say because He's going to live here.
That's right. Because before the foundations of the world, He's already committed Himself.
Yes.
It's absolutely true. And so, put it this way, maybe you can understand it this way. God is the architect. He drew up the blueprint and the plans. Jesus is that contractor that's taking the plan and making it happen. When Adam walked with him in the cool of the day, he's walking with Jesus.
I saw him holding that lifeless body. Mm. They were exactly the same size. And he spoke into his face those words. And Adam didn't hear any of those words. But he, and we looked it up in the Chumash
yeah.
here. He became a speaking spirit like God.
That's right.
He was identical to Jesus.
But he was made from here.
Yes.
Which is what bothered Lucifer. Now, let me keep reading this here. And the Lord God formed him of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. Verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden. Who planted the garden? God planted the garden.
God planted that garden.
Eastward in Eden, east of where he was created. The rabbis will tell you he was created right there at the Temple Mount. And the garden was east of there.
Well, now that's real.
Yes. That's why there's so much over that little spot right there. That's where
Glory
it happened.
Glory to God. The garden, talk about a golden nugget right there.
The garden is eastward. Well, we know that it was near the Tigris-Euphrates rivers. We know all the rivers that were, well, that's over towards Iraq and Persia and all over there. Mm-hmm. And that's east of Eden, where he was created. He plants a garden east of there. But he was created in Jerusalem.
Mm.
Let me read it again. I'll submit it to you.
Glory to God.
And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And I believe it was the dimensions, I believe all of Eden was the dimensions of heaven, the same
size. I do too.
Size. All right. And he put the man whom he had formed in that garden. Okay, and then he made everything to grow, and we know everything that happened. So now what happened to cause this to go backwards? Angels, including Lucifer, are not expected to visit this garden without permission. He put man there.
Mm.
Now, I'm going to submit some things to you here from some of the sages. Now, when I say the sages teach this, it's more like commentary. I mean, the scripture will allude to it, but it's not the same as we're reading the actual verses.
It doesn't affect your eternal
right.
salvation.
Yeah,
but it shines some light on it.
The
more of this light that you see, and then you can see it in Scripture, then you get a deeper insight into God Himself and why Jesus did what He did and why He's doing now what He's doing.
Okay. Flip to Ezekiel 28. We covered this a week or two ago concerning Lucifer,
yes.
who he was and what he looked like. So if angels don't have access to this, because remember, he places two angels to guard the way.
That's right.
At the end of this, he placed them. God would walk with man in the cool of the day in this garden. Now, there is an anointed cherub that covereth that would have gone with Jesus, his angel
mm-hmm.
would have gone with him. Look at verse 15. Ezekiel 28, verse 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. So you were perfect till iniquity was found in you. So you go on down, by the multitude of thy merchandise, you filled mm-hmm, all this. Mm-hmm. Thine heart was, here's verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason and thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. He talks about all the defilement that was there. But if you begin to look at this, in verse 13, this is before the iniquity.
Yes.
Okay, verse 13, look at what God said to him. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. It'd be like one of us coming home, and my mother would say, you've been in that dirt pile. You've been in that creek.
I told you not to go down there.
God said to him, you've been in Eden. Isn't that something? Every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire. And then he goes in here, the anointed cherub that covered, I set you so. You were upon the holy mountain. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in all their ways. From the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. So somewhere after he was in the garden, iniquity was found in him.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what they teach. It was after Lucifer ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil that iniquity was found in him.
He went in that garden
first.
He went in there uninvited. It wasn't made for him. He went in there,
and he was lifted up in pride. Let me show you verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
After he ate of it, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings. the thing about himself, he then had the knowledge of judgment. He could now judge, which not his position. God's the author of judgment. We showed you this week already that maturity and judgment. He began to look at himself. I am more beautiful than this man that was created. I'm more beautiful than any of this. I'm more beautiful than all of it. And he said, I will ascend. Mm-hmm. See, he begins to get lifted up in pride. I believe after he ate of this, I just quoted it, Isaiah 14, verse 13 and 14.
Yes.
For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.
Mm.
So I believe, and you know, I think there's something to this. This is how he knew to tempt Eve with this tree, because he had already eaten of it and became lifted up in pride.
He was here.
He was here.
Yeah. He was here before Adam was ever created.
That's correct.
We see that right there. Right,
and he watches Adam get made out of the dust of this place. And he sees God breathe into him and call him a speaking spirit. He sees all of this happen. He sees Adam name things like God named it. He sees him name Eve. All of those things he sees. And he's here. And this is why God took him and placed him in a garden to protect him. And I believe that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was in the garden. So it was right next to the tree of life. Because if you read it, the scripture says they were in the middle of the garden. Now, he can eat of anything in there except that one. And I believe that when they ate of the tree of life, they're looking at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Matter of fact, some rabbis say the root systems were intertwined with one another. And this is why it was removed. The tree of life was removed from there. But when they're sitting there eating of that tree, they're looking at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, that tree we know represents the tithe, but look at this thing. He said you can eat of any of the trees that have seeds for fruit, like fruit. Mm-hmm. Apple tree there. You can eat of any of that, not that one. The very first rule, if you will, or law, if you will, that God gave man had to do with his diet, Brother Copeland.
Yes, it did.
And so it's not unusual to get into Leviticus and he starts to tell you all the things that you shouldn't eat.
Now, then how did Satan tempt Jesus?
Very first
after
temptation.
He had fasted until starvation had begun, he was so hungry, he said, turn these stones to bread.
It's the exact same temptation of Adam and Eve. Difference being, Adam has a multitude of things. He's not starving. He has a lot to eat from. Jesus didn't. And Lucifer said to him, take those stones and turn them into bread. He would never use that as a temptation if that wasn't real.
Well, yeah.
If Jesus couldn't have actually done it. And that's why it was a temptation to him. And so I'm telling you, and Christians don't like this, but one of the major avenues that Satan uses has to do with our diet.
Yes, it does. It's, again, making our own decisions.
Mm-hmm. Judgments.
Based on feelings.
Yes.
Based on, we were talking about that with Dr. Colbert. I remember the Lord said to me, well, two things I'll tell you. Well, actually it was all put together in one. He brought this up, and I continually fought with my weight to keep it down, because I promised him I would. And anyway, and he was correcting me, and it was pretty rough correction. He said, "You would fire anybody that put the wrong grade of fuel in your airplane. You would fire a mechanic that would put the wrong weight of oil Well, I would. He doesn't care any more than that. He's about to kill my family.
Right.
But he said, now look at yourself. He said, you don't read anything on the labels. He said, if it looks good, smells good, you just eat it. You don't read the labels on cans. You don't read the labels on anything, and you're about to put it in your body. So he said, you're killing yourself.
Which is the temple.
Well, that's what he brought up. And he said, what would you think about some fellow that went into a gasoline station? And he's getting just as ridiculous with me as he can to mark my thinking. Mm-hmm. And come in there and say, y'all have any of that pink gas? What? The pink gas. Pink gas. Yeah, you know the one that smells so good and looks so good. Oh, you mean this? And he said, yeah, that's what I want. That'll ruin your car. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Don't put that new oil in there. Do you have any of the reconditioned oil?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like putting diesel into a regular gasoline engine or unleaded into a diesel truck.
I'm glad you brought that up. I was on my Gold Wing. We had sold our property up there in Colorado, which we later bought back. But I left my motorcycle up there in storage, and I went up there to get it. And had to ride it all the way back home. I stopped in a service station coming onto the interstate and filled up with gas and then rode across the interstate and had lunch. Got back and on my bike and started out of there, and all of a sudden that thing started barking and blowing, and I knew exactly what I had done. I had pumped diesel fuel into that thing, not paying it, and the pump handle's green.
Right, yeah, it's different. Yeah.
I knew what I'd done, and then I'd rev it up and ease the clutch out, and it'd run a little, and click, click, bang, bang, back firing all over the place. That engine is trying to die. Mm-hmm. And I saw a Honda sign. I got over there, and none of the mechanics were there. And I'm on a schedule. I had to siphon all of that diesel, and thank God I carried a siphon hose with me everywhere I went. Spit that stuff out. But think what I was doing to my body all the time. Mm-hmm. And we're out of time.
We're out of time.
Come on, son, help us here.
Thank you, Papa. You know, as you and I learn about the goodness of God, we begin to see and to understand His plan to give us a life worth living. See, God's goodness makes provision for everything you will ever need, but your part is to believe and trust God and have faith in His goodness.
The laws of the Spirit govern the whole earth, but what are those laws? In Kenneth Copeland's teaching series, Releasing God's Love in You, he explains what the laws of the Spirit are and how they affect your daily life. Understand the character of God as your Savior and Father. Learn how releasing the love of God that's in you activates His Word and power into your life so you can love and believe on purpose and see the blessing that God has for you. When you sow the love of God into what you're believing for, you'll see the harvest of His promises come back to you more than you could ask or think. Fill your spirit with the right words so you know what to do and say when challenges arise, and watch God's love turn your situation around. Stop strife and unforgiveness with the love of God and take back freedom and peace for you and those around you.
Request your free copy of Releasing God's Love in You, available on MP3 disc by Kenneth Copeland. Choose to live in God's love and see how everything lines up with His promises for your life and those around you. Go to kcm.org.uk/TV special or call 01225-787-310. Free offer good for 30 days. Postage charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
What does a life worth living look like to you? Does it look like good health? Does it look like good relationships or financial stability or freedom or peace? Well, listen, whatever it is, it starts with having a friendship with Jesus that changes everything in your life. Now, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, if you've never received Him as your Lord and your Savior, then do it today. Let me pray with you. Just say this out loud after me. Just say, Father in heaven, I come to You in Jesus' name, and I believe in my heart that You raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord. I repent and I receive forgiveness and cleansing. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Take my life, Lord Jesus. Do something with it and fill me with Your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen to me. If you prayed that prayer, I know it was simple, but amazing, powerful things happened. You are a child of God. You're a part of the family. You are in the house of faith. And through Jesus, those promises for a life worth living, they belong to you. And KCM has put together some free resources, and we call it the Salvation Package. In this package is included a book called He Did It All For You by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And along with this book, we're going to send you these two little brochures that are here to help you start reading and studying your Bible to find out who you are in Jesus and who He is in you. So to get your free salvation package, just go to kcm.org and begin to develop your friendship with Jesus today and every day. Keep feeding your spirit with the Word of God. And kcm.org has so many free resources, and they're all available to you to help you live in this kind of victory that we're talking about. You can watch these broadcasts. You can read the magazine that we have available to you. There's a daily devotional that you can check out. Listen, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to help you grow in your walk, in your friendship, and in your fellowship with the Lord. That's what this ministry is all about. Did you know that? It's all about getting the Word of God into your life. But when you hear it and you become a doer of the Word that you've heard, Jesus said it's like putting foundation underneath your feet. So it's so simple, isn't it? Hear the Word. That's what this broadcast, this ministry, this website we're talking about, that's what it's all about, getting the Word to you. Then what do you do after that? You become a doer of the Word that you've heard. And watch the Word go to work in your life. Whether you've been walking with the Lord for decades or today was your salvation day, you can watch the Word do in your life what only the Word can do. Thanks so much for joining us today on this broadcast. We'll see you next time. Until then, remember, God loves you and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
If you ask Jesus into your heart today, KCM has a free salvation package to give you. Email us at partners@kcm.org.uk. Find out who you are in Christ and how to live your new life in victory. 2021 is the year of the local church, a year of divine healing, divine health, divine prosperity, and divine recovery.